sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Good evening, everybody. This is Blue Otter coming to you from the mountains of East Tennessee. And we've got an exciting show for you tonight. And we've got our trusty sidekick, Mark Borcherding, also known as the Badger. And our guest for this evening is Ana Chio, otherwise known as the Mayan Butterfly. And we're going to be talking about crystal skulls and ancestral ascension and energy clearing, all kinds of interesting stuff. And anyway, welcome, Ana.
Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here.
Well, we're glad you agreed to come on, and want to thank Mac Boogaloo for lining up. Mac is the impresario of Prophecy Keeper Z, and you can look that up, and you'll see what he's doing for the Z generation of Prophecy Keeper type folks. And we thought we'd just kick off with Mark doing a Mayan birth reading for you. I'm sure you've heard a lot of this stuff before. And Mark's got an interesting spin on things, so take it away, Mark.
Well, hopefully I got the date right. She'll probably realize it. First of mine, Dankel, it looks like it's born on, they called 6 Sib or 6 Owl or 6 Condor. it's in the bats or Chuan cycle, monkey cycle, 6th day of that cycle. And so at this day, in the traditional way of looking, things has to do with many tests and things to learn and change and evolve into. And especially things that are relating to testing and trials and things, and a lot to do with working in, especially in the area of forgiveness, in a almost a warrior way, and it's a. Sometimes this glyph has different connections. Sometimes they'll say it's related to owl, which relate to the owls in the Mexico things were related to prophecies. They'd always hear owls making noises and stuff right before something happened. And also condor. So sometimes in the, like the eagle and condor prophecy, this glyph is a lot of times associated with the condor part of that prophecy. So a little bit more in the southern hemisphere, in the tribal and heart energy of tribal, native tribal thinking. So a little bit of warrior and, you know, having forgiveness and for both oneself and then getting other people to do it and quit fighting is sometimes maybe the real difficult thing for a warrior to do. It's easier to fight than it is to teach everybody how to not fight. So now in the so you may have heard that from Jose or something similar along those lines, at least today. Now in his they have a different name in the Guatemalan, as I forget, Ajamak or something like that. Ajamak or something like that, I think it's the Guatemalan Mayan name for that glyph. Well, we'll switch over, though. We'll do one that Jose is starting to work with and learn a little bit, and that's the sixth sun Vulcan. And this is actually going to have three components to it. And it's going to be a forward flow of time, the way we normally look at time, a backward flow, and then where the two flows come together in a unity or a zero point. So I'll go with the forward flow, the way we normally look at time first. And in yours, we have a Manique or Handcliff, and this actually ties back to Jose because he uses that name. I'm part of his name. And this one has to do with, so this is going to be more moving from birth forward. It has to do with learning, knowing things, healing of things, especially stuff that has to do with light, especially radio or spiraling form of light energy. And it's going to be working with kind of a partnering energy to this. It's going to be aspects of dealing with illusion, the holographic nature of things, supernatural powers, and also ancestors. And it is sitting actually in the Sib or a Condor cycle. So that's connecting back to your birth in the current Mayan Vulcan calendar. So it's connecting into there. So it's kind of connecting healing hand and light energy back into the eagle, or specifically condor type energies, linking the two together. Then on the backward flow of time, we have a sun glyph of a howl sitting here. That's also going to connect you into Jose's, because his is on a four howl. This is a seven. So it's going to also connect into the... So this part of the reading is going to be moving backward in time from the next world cycle we're moving into our present world cycle and back to your birth. So along that timeline, around, usually I look at it and say maybe around 1997, 98 or somewhere around there before or after, these type of things may have been showing up more in your life. And it's having to do with things about courage, tuning into things. We see the Sib Condor energy here showing up again. So it's about kind of a little bit more on the bringing in the sun energy into, again, kind of that thing about warrior thing, fearlessness, not having any fear, reasoning things and aspect of justice according to the warrior thing, enlightenment, inspiring things, life and so it's going to be connected more into the aspects of the sun, but it's sitting inside of a cycle of the eagle. So I wouldn't be surprised if you're seeing some eagle energy showing up here in the last how many years to balance out the condor energy. And it's going to, and it has an aspect here of a centering of things or a balancing of things, especially your own desires and accomplishments of how to create understand what you're wanting, but how to kind of balance that and then make adjustments on it. So now where these two time flows come together in kind of the zero point or the balancing point or whatever you want to call it, you have the Chakan or serpent energy showing up here. And it's actually sitting in the Eek cycle, which is Blue Otter's glyph. And it's so we now see kind of Condor, Eagle, and also the kind of the Quetzalcoatl or the Coatl part of Quetzalcoatl, the serpent energy showing up here. So you kind of got both of them all kind of coming in here. And that in the prophecy, Eagle and Condor, at least from the some of the Mayans' perspective, is there's not just Eagle and Condor, but there's also Quetzal. So you have the Eagle of the north, the Condor of the south, and the Quetzal sitting in the center. So this is where this is going to be, your part of the reading here is going to be connecting it. So bringing back again that idea of center and balancing and all that. And this part of it's really showing that as you move between world cycles, these aspects are going to be important things for yourself, but also for you to bring others with you. And they are going to be things that characterize energy of just survival, instinct, survival, aspects of life force, sacred powers coming in here, and action, getting things done, doing things. It's, you know, the energy and power to actually go out and do something. So that's going to be important. And there's an aspect here of spirit and purification process, tying into creation. That's one of the things I hope you talk about in terms of going from one world cycle to the next. They talk about the day of purification. So there's a kind of side or partnering energy here is kind of sitting off to the side that has to do with that aspect of purification. Let me see if I can find out a little bit more about that. Not there. Give me a second to look and see if I can see any more about that one on that balance. Where is it in the cycle there? Okay, yeah, I see it there. Yeah. So it's a kind of a the aspect of the purification that I see in here is counterbalancing here is has to do a little bit with planetary level or bringing things together in a oneness is what it's going to be. So that'd be a target of the for you of this whole purification process is that kind of bringing things together in unity.
Outstanding.
Makes sense.
That is pretty outstanding. Thank you, Mark. Everything is pretty spot on.
It's amazing,
and,
isn't it?
It is, and it's interesting that you gave me the reading that I just got a reading from you because I've been going through a huge transformation over the last few weeks and even more so in the last 2 weeks that resonates with every single thing you just brought up.
Oh. Well, butterflies... And by the way, here's a butterfly sound.
This is a butterfly. That's a Godzilla butterfly.
That's a big one, and it's close up. But butterflies are all about transformation, and they're also they're said to be the most aggressive in the insect world toward each other. Yeah, they're very very aggressive and but very graceful, and they fly high and. Yeah, I thought I'd throw that in. I haven't done the sounds in a while.
Thank you. Well, yes, we do. You know, we are very graceful, and we can be aggressive when we have to be.
Mm-hmm, as it should be.
Hmm.
As it should be. So, sorry.
Warrior butterfly.
Right. Sound like a stormtrooper butterfly.
Actually, I am a warrior. I'm a warrior as well. So everything that you just mentioned for my birthday, everything that symbolizes all the aspects of me have come through and continue to come through, and layers continue to shed so that the rest of it can come through. And that leads into the purification that you mentioned.
Well, yeah. How did you get started on this path?
Oh, okay. Let's see. Let's start with the water, because that one started in 2012 when I met Jose through the Peace and Dignity Journeys run 2012, and the run was for the sacred water. He inadvertently asked a favor if myself could and my traveling companion would transport some water that came from the Nile River in the Sahara Desert. Peoples out there wanted to have their water united with the run, so we agreed to that. And unfortunately, due to politics, the waters were not allowed in the run. So we came up with Plan B, and Plan B was to ask some specific runners to take little samples of bottles of the water with them back to their countries or communities and unite it with the waters there. So back home, I had had a little bit left over, and I just started any of my travels. I just started uniting the waters and giving a blessing and a prayer, and not even understanding exactly what I was doing. But I do know that when spirit guides you to do something, it's not necessary to know the why. It's just, you know, you're just guided to do something and of great importance, and sometimes we don't even realize it till later. So that's kind of how it got started, and I was just started logging out the waters that I was uniting in my travels. And when people started hearing the stories of my uniting the waters, they started gifting me water. So then it became very challenging to try to log where all the waters come from, and at that point I just surrendered and said there's just absolutely no way. But I have been gifted some beautiful waters from the places like the Amazon, from the Yucatan, obviously in Guatemala when we were there in 2012, from the Nile River, Mount Shasta underneath the Blood Moon, I think it was last year, and so on and so forth. Many, many beautiful destinations of this water. And I also encourage people to become sacred water carriers, especially the women. We need that feminine energy, you know, to come through. So whenever I'm at a ceremony or any type of gathering, I always carry little tinctures of water with me. So when I'm sharing the story, inadvertently I inspire others to carry water, and they become very, very intrigued, and they ask, how do I become a sacred water carrier? And I'll pull out a bottle of water and say, here you go. You can start right now.
There.
Yep, so that's pretty much how that got started with the water. And then I carry a skull with me. I'm her second guardian. Her original guardian claimed that she was asking for an adventure. Her name is Julieta, and she's almost a full-size rose quartz skull. And she's pure, you know, she's love. And so when she goes with me to bless the waters, so what I'll do is I'll put her in any body of water, which might be a creek, a stream, a river, ocean, what have you. And then she just does her thing, and then I stand on the shoreline and, you know, I offer tobacco to the water and sing a couple water songs, and then I ask permission to unite the waters, and then I take a little bit back and just keep it going. Water regenerates. Water is conscious, and it's living just like we are. We are predominantly water ourselves.
That's right.
So have you ever? Go ahead, Blair.
No, I'll go. That's okay. Go ahead, Mark.
Well, I was just. Have you ever looked at the work of Dr. Emoto? I think he passed away last year, but Japanese doctor. Have you ever looked at his work? He did a lot of stuff on water and, you know, how water would basically store the energy of prayers and, you know, thoughts and all that.
Absolutely, I did, you know, especially since, I needed to understand what it was I was doing and the theories behind it and so forth. And Dr. Emoto His research proved profoundly that water is living, water is consciousness, and the examples that he did, you know, like taking one bottle and surrounding it with love and positive thoughts and beautiful music and so on and so forth, and crystallized it, and when he looked under a microscope, it looked like a beautiful snowflake. And then the other bottle, you know, he showed it videos of Hitler and Holocaust and I hate you words and what have you, and he froze it. And under the microscope, it was almost like a dark rock, you know, just really decrepit and just really hardened. So I believe that to be true. I play beautiful music I keep the waters on my altar, and I always play music, you know, because I know that the vibration of the sound goes into the water. Whenever I go to ceremonies, whether it be sweat lodge or fire ceremonies, I take the waters with to receive the blessings of the prayers and also of the songs from those ceremonies and from the fire, and expose it to as much positive vibration as possible on whatever level that might be. I would like to share something kind of interesting that was one of Dr. Emoto's, one of the tests that he did. So I had two jugs of water. One was my drinking water, and the other was sacred water, and I carried them in my trunk, and I was going to an event. And when I grabbed the sacred water, it was changing color. And I opened the cap, and it started to smell like algae, and it was turning green. And I was beside myself. I thought, oh, my gosh, I'm failing as a sacred water carrier. What am I going to do? Oh, my gosh. Okay, well, I got to figure this out. No, Jose will help me figure it out. So to decipher the two different bottles, I had an extra sticker of World Peace before the year 2021. So I slapped that on the gallon jug of the sacred water, and I just, you know, put them in the trunk, and it was a two-hour drive to our meeting. And I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to tell him? What am I going to do? So when I got to my destination, I opened the trunk, and you're not going to believe it. The water with the World Peace label, the sacred water, it cleared up. And I looked at it, and I was shocked, and I thought, what? I don't know. How is that possible? Then I opened the cap, and I smelled it. It smelled like earth. It smelled like beautiful earth.
Wow.
So I'm here to attest that even if you put a heart sticker or I love you or any positive affirmation on a bottle of water, it's going to absorb that, as yeah. This one did. And it's been clear ever since, and I haven't had any issues with the water.
What may have happened there, too, is the intention and thought as you put the sticker on the bottle, what was in your mind went into the water, your intention.
Yeah, you're quite right.
That was part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
besides panic, it didn't absorb my panic.
Yeah. Well, it may have, but your other one overruled it.
So that's the gist of the water and how I came to, you know, carry the waters and unite the waters. And I feel very honored that I feel like the waters chose me. And based, again, Mark, on your readings of my birthday, it kind of encompasses and kind of goes along with that. And so now you just confirmed for me that I am really on my path, and I'm honoring everything that I'm supposed to be according to my birthday.
Well, there's something I left out, though, that I didn't include.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should have said it because everybody's going to think I just added it now and just it wasn't there before. But there's something, and it has to do with the part of the reading, which was about the purification. In that part of the reading, the thing that I didn't tell you was two words come up that are work with the purification energy, and there's two words that come up. The first word is universal, and the second word is water.
Oh, wow.
So
that's pretty awesome.
And that's going to connect back to your... it's going to connect back to Quetzalcoatl. The coatl, atl means water, and the co is like a serpent. So the two together kind of mean water serpent or water snake. So that's part of the water, and the serpent spiraling energy of the water is and on a all the way up to a universal level is going to be part of that connection and the purification.
It is. So let's emphasize on that word purification or purified because here we go, divine universe, how it orchestrates things right on time. So when I got back from the Parliament of World Religions, literally the day coming back, I was really needed to go and take care of myself. And so I drove 3 hours just to come back to the ocean down south in San Diego County. And a Native brother of mine, his name is Adam, he had sent me a message while I was at the Parliament saying that I have something for you. Didn't say what it was. He just said, I have something for you. And ironically, it was on my birthday, that Friday, the 16th. And I said, how did you know it was my birthday? And he said, well, I didn't. But happy birthday, but I do have something for you. He said, okay, I'll be back in a few days. So on my drive, I called him up. I said, I'm going to the beach, and I know you're nearby. Can you meet me there? And he said, sure. And so we met at the beach, and he pulls out a tincture out of his pocket. Well, I thought, okay, that's interesting. He said, I just got back from Japan, and a 103-year-old elderly woman gave me this water. Now, it's gone through three hands, and she's the third hand. And the story goes, the original people who got this water were guided by whales. The whales told these people where to find pure, untainted water in the South Antarctica, gave them the coordinates exactly. And so these individuals, based on the information that the whales gave, they went and they found the water. They brought it back, and I was gifted part of that water. So there we go, purification right there. Story doesn't
cool.
end. So yesterday I met with a woman, Eldima, and inadvertently she's a connection friend of a friend of mine. And, you know, right now, lately, we've all been connecting so quickly to co-create the, you know, new heaven on earth here. And so all of us are coming together. Well, her and her husband leave on the 8th for Peru. Now, they are also sacred water carriers. And I didn't know that until I was speaking with her yesterday as we were talking about some other things. Gritting the earth is what we were talking about. And inadvertently, the subject of the water came up. So she said, you know, and I was telling her about this, the pure water that I just received. And she said, you know what? We were scheduled to go, and I was going to receive some water in Mexico before we went to go visit with the Kojis. And we had to change our plans and go to Peru first, so I can't go get the water. And it happened to be water from the exact same location. And I said, well, I have your water. You didn't get a chance to go pick it up, and you thought you were going to go to Peru without it. Well, here we go. I have the water for you. So we met yesterday. I gave her the water, and she will take it to Peru and do a blessing in the waters there with that water. And that's how it goes. that's how it goes.
Yeah, things just happen, huh?
Yep, so, and it's a beautiful thing.
So you're a water smuggler is what you are, right?
Can you say that on radio?
Sure. Yeah.
Well, apparently Germany didn't want it, so that makes you a water smuggler.
Water smuggler, okay. So it's a beautiful thing that to know that there are many, many, many other individuals that, unbeknownst to each one of us, we don't, you know, until we hear about it, we don't really know that people are already intuitively or guided by spirit. However, they're already doing the work for the water and uniting the water. And here's my personal philosophy on the water as being a carrier and my own personal experiences and travels with the water and seeing what it's done and the conversations I've had with people and how it just really opens their heart up and their spirit. I believe that in uniting the waters, we unite the people. When we unite the people, we will have peace. Because the water is unconditional love. And in sharing the story and with people, and then themselves being inspired to want to be also become sacred water carriers, it does something to their spirit and to their being and their heart. And I know it's transformed me since 2012, I've gone through a huge transformation. I've been on fast track, and I've learned so much in a short amount of time. But my point is that it's really taught me a lot about myself, about humanity, about our Mother Earth, about how precious the water is, and without it, you know, we won't survive. So to not take more than what we need, and also to give thanks always and honor the water.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it'll tend to you can kind of, like Dr. Emoto's work, you can kind of think about what you do around water is kind of like talking to a tape recorder. Your thoughts, your feelings, your emotions, you know, it's going to record it, so it'll come
absolutely
back to you.
Absolutely.
So you can imagine if everybody worked on that and thought all those things, and of course, you know, their body's made of what percentage of water, right?
Absolutely. You know, that's
and the whales
why
are out there singing in that water all the time.
They are. And, you know, the whales actually started visiting me about a couple months ago in my dream time. And they did give a message I would like to share with you all. And the message was that the storm is coming, but it will pass. Not to worry. Not to worry. And everything will be more beautiful than we could have ever imagined. And that was their message.
Yeah. Well, you know, they found some whales from the last time this happened. They found some whales up in some pretty high places that they're not supposed to be.
Oh, boy.
Some of the whales know about this firsthand. No, they found whales, I forget, somewhere up in Canada or somewhere, you know, where whales don't belong in the ground, different places in the world. You know, they found whales where, you know, whales are not supposed to be.
Oh, and middle of the Sahara Desert.
Yeah, so last time the Earth went through some you know, a little shaking and baking or whatever, you know, moving around or whatever, the whales probably know firsthand what happened to some of them. But they probably
sure
didn't worry about it too much. Yeah. I also heard that, I'm not sure 100% it's true, I heard that one of the stars, well, there's a planet around one of the stars, I think it's Sirius B or C, and there's a planet around one of those stars in the Sirian star system, B or C, I think, and it's primarily a water world, and it supposedly has a lot of dolphins on it.
Is that right?
I've heard that story. I can't prove it, but, you know, I've heard that. And that may trace to, because remember the Dogons in Africa, they claimed that when the people came down to visit them that they were from Sirius.
Right.
Star system in Sirius, and they had all kinds of information about how the stars rotated around each other. And they knew all the stars in that star system, things that we didn't even know till we had radio telescopes.
That's
and they
right
also, the Dogons also said that one of these stars or something was made out of like the heaviest stuff in the universe or something like that. But, you know, there's a dwarf star or something out there that's very dense. So, and they said that, you know, they asked him, well, how do you know all this crap, all this information? And they said, well, you know, a long time ago, these guys came down, and their ship hovered over the ground, and they made a hole in the ground, in the earth, and then some water filled in, and then they hopped out and got into it. And, you know, their description of these beings that came out of the ship sounded kind of like a dolphin or a mermaid or something like that, right? So maybe these guys that came and visited Dogon, maybe they were from that planet orbiting Sirius B or C. So I was telling you that story because of your connection with the whales.
No, I love that story. I love that story. You know, in it, very interestingly enough, I have been connecting with mermaids from Lemuria.
Yeah.
Yes, I have lately, and it's been quite a beautiful reunion, actually. You know, I'd like to mention something about the skulls, and I know that's the other aspect of myself that I'm sure many are curious about. You know, the skulls, they started coming to me in dream time. It's not something I went out seeking. And the first skull that came to me was a pyrite skull that Marshall Jack, he is from the Eagle Nation, and he goes around implementing the medicine wheels. And the skull originally comes from the Incas, and he calls the skull Goldie. And before I met Marshall Jack, Goldie came to me in dream time, just to appeared with no words, no message, no nothing, and then just disappeared. I thought, okay, that was really interesting. Who was this skull? Who does it belong to? Where does it come from? I knew nothing. And several months later, Marshall Jack was invited by Jose to a crystal skull gathering that we were doing in Sedona, Arizona. And Marshall was invited to go, and he accepted the invitation. And then on Facebook, he created his own event because he has followers. And when he posted his event, I went and looked at his page, and my mouth dropped because in the his cover photo, there was Goldie. That's the skull that came to me. And so that's kind of what they do, and they telepathically communicate with me. There are three skulls in particular that have communicated with me that their skull is also a map, and they have shared with me the information of these maps and the timelines of these maps. And they come through on the most interesting dates, and there's three skulls. The first skull is two worlds, and the information came through on the blood moon lunar eclipse in Libra of earlier this year, April. And he told me the story about the underwater people. After that was a skull by the name of Minka. And Minka also tells a story of the underwater, of the underwater people. And that was transmitted on July during the Venus retrograde. And that one was called Day Out of Time. Then the third skull by the name of Zephora tells the story of our new Earth, and that message came through on August 8, 2015, which is some people refer to as the Lion's Gate, because if you add up the numbers, they're 888. And these are stories that are to be shared, and I do share them at any opportunity that I have. So if there's any listeners that would like me to email them, I encourage them to send me an email at cstranslator33@gmail.com, and I would be more than happy to share these stories. They're very profound. They're very significant for any and all who have come through many lifetimes. This this information helps individuals receive comfort. For example, the first story that came through with Two Worlds, for many lifetimes, I carried guilt with me because there were only specific individuals that made it out, and there were very many thousands and thousands of ancestors that were left behind. And I carried that guilt forever, and in this lifetime, Two Worlds finally released that guilt, helped me to release that guilt, because he told me the story and how we could do an ancestral ascension for all of them. And Lady Jaguar Butterfly is the guardian of Two Worlds, and they reside in Australia. Her and I thought we could take it upon ourselves to do this ancestral ascension, but it would cover all the ocean bodies of water globally. We knew that we could do it, but we also knew that if it was just her and I, it would knock us out for about a couple of weeks of recuperation, because it would exude that much energy. So we kind of rallied and decided, well, let's reach out to others and see who will come together to help us out and do this. And Marshall Jack came through, Jose did, and there was another individual in Germany, a light worker, that she came through. And there were many up and down the coastline. And so we, you know, on our time zone, we kind of did a global ancestral ascension with the aid and help with all these individuals. And we were very successful and in releasing all these ancestors from Lemuria time to the light. And so the suffering is done. It's over. And so now we have peace. And we have peace now that we can go forward and do the work that we need to do.
Outstanding. So you live, where do you live?
I'm in San Diego County currently, but I'm being guided by Spirit and the Divine Universe. They've given me a new assignment, and that entails me moving out there for a while. I will be collaborating with an individual by the name of Jesse. Jesse I Am is what he goes by, and he's already doing grid work. Now, when I accepted this assignment, you know, I usually don't question Spirit. I just accept and agree and know that the reasoning behind it will reveal itself at some point. So when I connected with Jesse when I returned from the Parliament, it made complete sense to me. Oh, that's why I'm going. Okay. And going on pure faith, I don't know where I'll live. I don't know, you know, I don't have any work lined up to financially sustain myself while I do this work for the Mother Earth. But I'm trusting. Just as I did with the Parliament. I had no ticket and I had no lodging. Spirit just said, you're supposed to go. And I said, okay. And after an 11-hour car ride, within 30 minutes of arriving in Salt Lake City, a ticket appeared, and so did a nice, comfy, cozy bed in a beautiful hotel room.
Cool, yeah. Salt Lake's a beautiful place. Yeah, I spent a lot of time there.
Didn't get to go venture out, you know. It was 4 days of workshops and meeting some beautiful individuals and sharing. And I actually gifted a large bottle of sacred water to Francois. I don't know how to pronounce his last name, but he's a retired chief from northern Canada, and he's from the Bush area. And the Mackenzie River, he did he showed a documentary film about the Mackenzie River in one of his workshops. And from that moment, I realized, you know, why I was guided to bring a large bottle of water with me. And then the morning of, it was the last day of all of the workshops, and Spirit that morning guided me, and we were supposed to leave after lunch that day. And I thought, okay, I'll bring the water, but how in the heck am I going to find him in this large facility with all these rooms? And I just surrendered. Spirit said, you know, don't worry about it. We got you covered. So here I am standing in the lobby, and who comes walking towards me? Francois. So I didn't have to search for him. He came right to me so I could gift him the water.
Well, it's good you got to see Salt Lake before it gets... Salt Lake,
I knew this was coming.
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So, have you ever heard of Mad Bear Anderson? Mad Bear, he's kind of the spiritual founder of the American Indian Movement. He walked west in 1985, but in 1972, he traveled out to Salt Lake City to meet with Mad Bear Anderson and a lot of other elders there in a big gathering in South Jordan. And I know the lady that drove him from New York out to Salt Lake, and just east of Salt Lake City, about 20 miles, you can begin to see the valley floor. And he made her stop the vehicle on the interstate, and he got out and looked and was shaking his head and got back in the car. And she said, "Bear, you know, what's wrong?" He says, "Oh, it's too bad. It's so beautiful." And she says, "What's too bad?" And he said, "Oh, it's... Someday it's all going to be underwater." And she drove him downtown, and he pointed to, oh, he says, that gold statue on top of that building, that pointed to the temple. He says, the water's going to be all the way up to that level. And a couple blocks away, the church office building there, he says, oh, I saw that in a vision. He says, there's two... hemispheres. They're great big concrete depictions of the eastern and western hemisphere. And he says, oh, I saw those fall to the ground in an earthquake. And so anyway, yeah. And he was he and Mad Bear were not too pleased when they left. I played some of the transcript of that gathering, and he told. He told the mayor, he was the mayor of South Jordan, got to be a pretty good friend, and Mad Bear gave him a set of prayer sticks, and he said, I want you to put these up on the wall and cross them, and he says, but when they come together, he says, you need to get out, he says, because that's when the flood's going to come. And he said, when I return, he says, I'm going to come back with Jesus Christ and Joseph Smith. He says, we weren't very well treated by the Mormons here. And he says, the truth of this will be manifest to you. He says, the day after I leave, it will rain for 3 days straight. And he says, it'll be a very light female rain. Well, it never rains in Salt Lake in August, much less a female, like a winter-type rain. And darned if it didn't, the exact circumstances came true.
So see, I'm glad, you know, we might have to stick a webcam on those prayer sticks so we know when they come together.
Well, I've thought about, you know, trying to find out who the mayor was and get in touch with him, interesting. But hey, if there's, you know what, we've got I was just going to say, if anybody's got a question. Call in. Let's see. Area code 760. Where are you calling from? I guess they're just calling to listen. Caller, have you got a question? Yeah. Somebody's calling in from area code 760-809. Can you hear me?
Hey, how's it going?
Hey, where are you calling from?
California.
Yeah. Welcome to the program. Did you have a question or a comment?
I'm just listening. I don't know what to say, or I just got on, getting caught up.
Oh, that's cool. We appreciate you, and I'll check back with you. I'll turn your mic off for a while so we have less noise on the line, but I'll check back with you in a little while and see if you got any questions, okay?
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening. And if anybody else would like to call in, it's got a question for for Anna, the number to call is 347-996-3318. And so you're going to be, you're in San Diego County, and you're you've got plans to go someplace else?
Yeah, I'm being guided to go to Sedona, Arizona.
I got you. Okay, I wasn't sure where. So, yeah. Well, you should enjoy that.
It's going to be cold.
Yeah, this time of year you want to, it's up in the mountains, you know, it's 4,000 to 5,000 feet, and it's really beautiful. That whole northern Arizona area is absolutely gorgeous. You come up out of the, if you're traveling on the interstate, you come up out of the desert up into the mountains, and you see these huge ponderosa pines, you know, with the trunk circumference is like 15 feet around. They're huge. And the San Francisco Peaks is right nearby, which is the Sacred Mountains of the West. It's really a beautiful place. Really a beautiful place. I used to love to travel through there. And, Williams, Arizona, just to the west, is the gateway of the southern rim of the Grand Canyon. But, we don't. We know you're busy. You can, if you let us know. You know when if you have more to share, you're welcome to. And if anybody would like to call in, you're welcome to call in. And anything else come to mind with either one of you guys?
If we do still have time, I mentioned earlier that I have three different transmissions that came through when three different skulls. But would you mind if I just read the third one?
Oh, sure, sure. Go ahead.
Okay, and the third one, this one shares information about our new Earth. So again, this was transmitted on August 8th, 2015, which is considered Lionsgate of 888. So now this was turned into a story format like fiction, so it's more palatable for, you know, your standard listener. So here we go. It took a grandmother in spirit, a relative from the ancient past, to link me to you in the present. I am the future Earth, the representative of the natural organic timeline that holds the key to your survival in this incarnation. I am the Earth, Pachamama, for the view of the stars. Look at my body. I am vibrant, colorful, and fluid in movement. See the dragon energy lines that swirl around my body? These are my ley lines and represent healthy, natural energy. My energy matches my form. I am the new world. The Earth's new landmasses are imprinted on me. New worlds, new divisions, new alignments, and new timelines. Which side will you choose to be on? Or will you discard side the old duality and forge an entirely new path for humanity? Remember that there is a difference between old world duality, which is a battleground of differences, and new world organic polarity, which just means a balance of naturally occurring opposites. Which would you prefer? Butterflies, we are going through a great awakening. There is a change coming, a giant wave of energy that will come through out of the void, through the solar system, and hit the Earth full on. But do not worry. It is a wave of love, a tsunami of love. It will change everything. It will bring my freedom and yours. Look to the Bermuda Triangle.
Hi, folks. This is Blue Water.
Sorry about that. That was a mistake. Go ahead. Sorry.
That's okay. Okay. Look to the Bermuda Triangle underneath this ocean is your ancient homeland, Lemuria. When the wave arrives, she will rise again. Didn't you hear the song of the humpback whale calling off the coast of Bermuda, singing the song of her return? A new earth, a new land, a new universe. Everything changes full circle. All cycles must finish when they reach 360 degrees, as decreed by universal law. All animals, all humans, every being in nature will be confronted with the fruits of their labor, and in this way will have to atone for any discretions against natural law. By atone, I mean confront, like holding a mirror of your life in front of your face. The key is relinquish all inappropriate agreements and contracts now. Go back in time and dissolve them. You have the ability to time travel while in conscious form and change everything that does not serve you. I can see that you have all been working hard towards my freedom, like distinguished scientists on a research project called Love. Mother Earth is grateful. Some of you have been monitoring me closely like a doctor with a stethoscope, listening to my heartbeat, taking measurements of my pulse. She can feel my breath, which is love, dissipating across the universe like a beautiful ether. My ether of love has the ability to change worlds, change the pasts of every being on this planet and beyond. Some also understand that it is worthwhile keeping close to the ground, ear to the soil. They have been treading carefully across my skin, tuning into my organic frequency, like a seismologist measuring the rumbles of a Hawaiian volcano. They have been tracking my love vibration. They know that I have so much love for my own creations, myself included, that sometimes it's hard to contain, and I burst, my belly spewing lava, my outward expression of love creating new form. That's how creative I am, and I love all my creations, you included, as you are all earth-born. Whether you came in at the beginning of Earth time or dropped in recently from the stars, you had to come through me. Butterflies, there is still much to do, but I am confident we will succeed. Your brothers and sisters in the sky are watching closely, as the survival of Mother Earth has repercussions for the whole universe. Focus on the future, on co-creating a new Earth, one that recognizes, respects, and honors all beings. Have the courage to be authentic. Express yourself, aligning right action with right thought. When the tsunami of love hits, you will be presented with your report card. Have you been doing your homework? Have you dissolved your inappropriate agreements and contracts? The Day of Atonement, what does that mean to you? You love your songs, but are you ready to face the music? You love the ocean, but are you ready for a wave of love? Are you ready for me? So that came through the third skull by the name of Zephora. Hello?
Yeah.
Hi. I was just mentioning that that was a transmission that came through the third skull by the name of Zephora.
Right. Yeah, the well, butterfly seems to come up a lot. The one, if you look at the one of the Hopi things in their Song of Creation, that's by Spider Woman. She's also associated with butterflies too. And in their Song of Creation, you can find it on the internet, and you can also find it in Frank Waters' book of the Hopi, like I don't know, page 5 or 6 or 7, somewhere in there. But there's a Song of Creation in there. And it specifically mentions the butterfly maidens.
Mm-hmm.
That might be something you might want to read sometime.
Thank you for that information.
Be interesting to you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, collectively, you know, all the butterflies have been coming together, you know, to do the work, to co-create the new Earth. And so, like, as the skull, you know, says, Zephora, you know, we've got a lot of work to do. And this I know, and more assignments will come my way. Sedona is just one of them.
Well,
for the listeners, if I can just give my email address again, if they would like these stories, I'd be happy to send them. It is cstranslator33@gmail.com. Thank you.
Well, we really appreciate you. We appreciate you visiting with us, and it's always fun to hear new things and especially the stories. And it's like Leonard Peltier talked about. He says, you know, there's a million stories, Well, he was right, and I didn't know how important stories were till I met Rolling Thunder. But anyway, well, thank you, Anna. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored to have been a part of this segment and to be able to spread the messages about the water.
Don't be a stranger.
I won't. Likewise.
Okay.
We're on Facebook now, right? We're connected on Facebook now.
We are. Absolutely.
Perfect.
And
then you can follow my adventures.
And I sent you the URL for the program. It'll be up as long as I'm able to keep the program on here, and it looks like shouldn't be a problem in the near future. And it's archived. You can also download a copy of it if you'd like to. And but thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Mark.
And you bet.
Thank you,
thanks,
Will.
Mark. Thanks. We'll see you all, everybody, next week. Bye bye now.
Good night.
Blessing.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Water, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Hi friends, this is Will Bluewater. If you have been listening to our program for long, then you know that Mark the Badger Borcherding does a Mayan birth reading for each of our interview guests. Mark suggested that he give away a free reading for each donation of $20 or more to Prophecy Keepers Radio, a ministry of Oklahoma Native American Church, or the White Roots of Peace. So please support Prophecy Keepers Radio by making your free will offering at nativeamericanchurch.us. and you'll receive this gift reading. If you choose to make a recurring donation, once you've received your own reading, you can give readings away as free gifts. So why not head over to nativeamericanchurch.us and make an offering right now. Hope to be talking with you soon. Bye now.
Friends, this is Will Bluewater, encouraging you to obtain an authorized participant or AP card and become a federally recognized Native religious practitioner. Presently, Oklahoma Native American Church is the only Native American church spiritually blessed by the Rosebud Reservation Native American Church and has a certificate of existence in the state of Utah that is authorized to worship on or off tribal grounds and has met the standard of sincerity and vow of poverty standards in the state of Utah and federal courts. This card is designed to assist all people regardless of their racial makeup, political affiliation, social and/or financial status, and receiving their constitutional rights. This card is also designed to assist United States judicial officials to honor their solemn oath to protect and exercise the principles of the United States Constitution while carrying out their duty and serving their fellow citizens. To join the movement that is strengthening and exercising the principles of the United States Constitution, please obtain your AP card by visiting NativeAmericanChurch.us today.
Sagebrush and mesquite and chaparral around. Out away's a big dust devil moving on its way. I guess they'll never still. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I my horses are many. The high grass and the cedar, the mighty oak and the tiny flower, the sandstone in the valley, the mountains high, running streams. In a sacred manner I live, to the heavens I gaze. In a sacred manner I live. My horses are many.
be wronged. I won't be insulted. I won't be laid a hand on. I don't do these things to other people. I require the same from them.
I don't know about you, but I feel a profound, passionate sense that we need to use our human voices to represent some of these things that can't speak for themselves. I mean, responsibility is kind of a heavy word, but we have an opportunity. We have something we can really give the earth. Think of all that the earth has given us. We've got a real chance here to give back a gift to the earth and all her creatures by going with our hearts and by getting involved in whatever that issue-related area is for you. I just want to say, like, I really believe in the Rainbow Warriors. The true human. Rainbow Warriors, like, go for it. All of you, whatever it is, whatever your path is, whatever you're called toward, go for it.
There was a man named Mahatma Gandhi. He would not bow down, he would not fight. He knew the deal was down and dirty.
Nothing wrong could make it right away, but he knew his duty and the price he had to pay. Just another holy man, dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Another man from Atlanta, Georgia. Name of Martin Luther King. Shook the land like rolling thunder. Made the bell of freedom ring that day. But his dream of beauty that they could not burn away. Just another holy man who dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Another man called Christ Almighty. The only one called Jesus Christ. Healed the lame and fed the hungry. For his love they took his life away. On the road to glory, where the story never ends. Just another holy man, dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. There is a place called South Dakota. It's the home of Sitting Bull. He was branded a Redskin savage when he tried to defend his land that day. But his dream of beauty that they could not burn away. Just another holy man, dared to be a friend. My God, they killed him. Sing the song of Mahatma Gandhi. Sing of Martin Luther King. Sing the song of Christ Almighty. Sing a song of Sitting Bull.
Floyd Westerman, ladies and gentlemen. Floyd Westerman. He's a powerful presence on this earth, that man.
Soul to pieces, and you watch them as they decay. Cause religion is big business, as your bank accounts will show. And Christ died to save all mankind, but that was long ago. Missionary, missionary, go and leave us all alone. Save the soul of all the white man, leave a God of our own. Missionary, missionary, go and leave us all alone. Save the soul of all the white man, leave a God of our own.
My soul is in the mountains, my heart is in the land, but I'm lost here in this city, there's so much I don't understand, and this quiet desperation coming over me. Place I gotta be.